Thank you, praise team. And I really like that last line, I'm desperate for you. Folks, we need to be desperate for Jesus Christ. And this morning we're going to see why. Because Jesus is a unique, one of a kind, one and only person. He is God the Son. And we're going to cover today in John chapter 5, so if you have your Bibles, please turn to that. And I've got 17 through 24, but we're going to specifically be focusing on 18 through 25. I added a verse at the end, and we'll get to that in just a second. But I want to go to the Lord in prayer now because I really want our hearts to be open to understand what Jesus Himself is claiming to be and is in truth, actually is. Because the world is going to throw, and I've covered this the last couple Sundays, they're going to throw all kind of fake Jesuses at you. Boy, my Southern just came out, didn't it? At you. We cannot have eternal life through a fake Jesus. We cannot be what God wants us to be and believe in a Jesus that's not the biblical Jesus. And that's one of the things that we can know the difference between the real Jesus of the Bible and these other Jesuses is that they're not biblical. We'll get into that in a little. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can hear the words of the Lord Jesus this morning, claiming His special relationship with You. Lord, knowing that He is the only way to You, that He is the only way that we can know the true God, our Creator, our King. So Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will open our hearts, not only to just understand this, but to believe it with every fiber of our being. For Lord, You have called us from among the people. You have called us among all these false beliefs and these fake gods, Lord, to understand the truth. Your word is truth. And Father, we trust it. So Lord, just let the Holy Spirit move among us now. Please take me out of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, you'll be in John chapter 5, but I don't watch a lot of TV, okay? But there's this one show that I see advertisements for every now and then called Undercover Boss. Have you ever seen that show? You heard of it. It's very interesting. Someone comes in whose identity is hidden. It's the owner of the business. He comes in, he works at the business, and he finds out what people who work for him are doing, good or bad. And this someone turns out to be the owner, as we said, and he either rewards or demotes employees based on how they act. If they're doing really well, he improves their situation. If they're not, he gets rid of them. It's pretty simple. But what if that person were to come into that business at the very beginning and tell them who they were? You think they would act different? Some of y'all have bosses that have come in and said, we're gonna do differently. Now, brothers and sisters, how would we act if this Jesus who we believe in immediately identified Himself as the Son of God? Well, folks, He did. He did. The Bible tells us that He was worshipped as an infant. But when He grew to be a man, He didn't hide. He didn't try to do things in the darkness. No, He told people who He was, what His mission was. In fact, we're going to read today that He identifies Himself to His critics. He's not talking to His disciples in this text we're going to read. He's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes. And then He identifies His purpose, why He came. And then, lastly, in our text, He explicitly identifies His relationship with God the Father. Now, folks, if you'll turn in John chapter 5, you're going to see that Jesus had just healed a man. It was the man that it was Solomon's porch, I believe is what they call it, the portico, that pool at Bethesda, excuse me, with the five porches. He had healed him. He told him to take up your mat and walk, and the Pharisees got mad at him because he had dared to heal on a Sabbath day. Now, this happened several times in the Gospel of John. You'll see it in John chapter 10, where he healed another person and they wanted to kill him. And folks, they wanted to kill Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. Now, that's where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up in 17, and this is what they accuse him of. It said in verse 16, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." Okay, I just established this. But in 17, Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto and I work." So he's telling them, "I'm going to do what my Father does." Now see, that's important. Let's read the entire text and then we'll come back and break it up. Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought to more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." We've got to understand the context. You got people nowadays saying, "Jesus never said he was God." No, he told everybody God was his Father, which made him equal in that culture. And later on he says, "I and the Father are one." And they wanted to kill him all the more. No guilt, no good deed goes unpunished. That's the old cliche that we hear so often. But let me continue. Verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things whatsoever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." That's important, we'll come back. Verse 21, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them," that means give them life, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." That's why we see in Revelation, we talked about the great white throne and all that stuff. That's Jesus sitting on that throne. He judges all people, whether you believe him or whether you reject him. Verse 23, "That all men, should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, brothers and sisters, that's important, because if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, none of that would matter, would it? And Paul even talks about where if Jesus wasn't said he was, then we actually are sinning because we're saying God's doing something that he's not doing. But I'm here to proclaim and tell you, each and every one of you, that what Jesus said is true. So let's talk about those three things I mentioned. The first, Jesus identifies himself by calling himself the Son. "Therefore, the Jews," verse 18, "sought the more to kill him." See, they understood what he was saying, and they couldn't handle it. Now, folks, we got to understand here, when it says the Jews in the King James, we're talking about the Jewish religious leadership, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the council, the Sanhedrin, those guys. The common people were flocking to him. So we're not talking about the race Jews here. We're talking about the religious leadership, because just like certain people in the government now, when you get too close to their power, they start squealing. They start denigrating. They start trying to do harm to those who are shining the light into the darkness. And it says, because they sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, we talk about that, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You see, that's why, and a lot of times when Jewish men in that day, not so much nowadays, but still on occasion, they would say Joseph, son of Benjamin, or something Ben Joseph, you know, that Ben means son of, because they were identifying themselves with their father. They were equal when they said that. And that's what Jesus is saying when he says God is his Father. Yes, all of them believe that he was Father by creation. And we can agree with that. But he's also the very special, only Son of God. But you can't feel too bad. I mean, you can't be too mad at the Pharisees, because I think we can all agree that someone showed up today calling himself God. We would consider that either idiocy or blasphemy. And folks, there are a lot of people out there calling themselves the prophet, the apostle, the one that got... I mean, there was a guy back... Y'all remember the Moonies? Okay? Back in the 70s? He said that he was the reincarnated Christ. And there are still folks doing things like that. And folks, so we can understand. But you see, this Jesus is no ordinary man. He is not. Jesus of Nazareth is God the Son, born of a virgin, the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior for all who believe on His name. That makes Him different. That makes Him special. You remember we read earlier in John 3, "For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, not created, begotten. Son from Son, light from light." The old creeds used to tell us. Folks, a creed is not the Word of God. However, it can reflect certain truths. And when we read that God the Son was begotten, we understand God has always existed in the form of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, there was never a time when the Son was not. Now, it's hard for us to wrap our heads around that because we are time-oriented. We born, we die. We create, we destroy. So as human beings in finiteness, we cannot truly understand this, but it is true that God the Son has always existed. Now, He became Jesus of Nazareth when He was born of that virgin, when He was incarnated. That still makes Him one of a kind. But it's hard to use that word one of a kind because we know the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. So you got to be careful with how you use terminology when you're preaching and explaining these things. But moving on. We, since the resurrection, we who have the Word of God once for all delivered to the saints, we, by faith, confess and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that His statement of identity is true. We know this by faith in the very Word of God. And if Jesus spoke it, it's the Word of God. If anything is contained in the Bible, it's the Word of God. It's Scripture. And if Jesus said it, we can believe it. Because Jesus is the one who gave us the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with Him in the beginning. We know that. I'm paraphrasing that last part a little bit. But we know that Christ is special. And we as Christians, we confess that. We believe it. We have a public profession when we are baptized as believers. Now folks, I know that there are certain religious traditions that baptize infants. They claim, and it's not just Catholics, okay? The Presbyterians do this, Methodists do this. They claim by that act of sprinkling, they are putting that child into the covenant. Folks, I've known a lot of people that were sprinkled, but they didn't stick. I know a lot of people who were baptized, that were baptized thinking that's what saved them. It's not. It is your faith. You are saved by grace through faith. You are baptized as a public profession of that faith. You say, I believe, I follow Christ. You know, it's interesting. If you will read testimonies of people who used to be a different faith, like Muslim or Hindus or even some Buddhists, they say they believe in Jesus, they love Jesus, but they won't be baptized because once they're baptized to their families and to their faith, you are no longer part and you lose everything. You lose your social status, your job, your education, everything. So they will not be baptized because that is the public profession. Folks, I think sometimes we need to do what Ray Stevens did in the video for the Mississippi Squirrel Revival. I don't know if you've ever seen that video, but the preacher was dunking everybody. They all came through there and got re-dunked, including himself. Because, folks, baptism is important, but the act doesn't save you. It's the faith. You're baptized because of your faith. You follow Christ because you believe in Him, because He told the truth. He is God, the Son. And those of us who believe are blessed. The problem is that most who make this profession don't apply it to their everyday lives. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all remember there was an old John Wayne Western. And he went and he was talking to some Indian tribe. And there was one and he was covered. And he was actually a Christian. And all he would say was, Hallelujah, every time John Wayne would talk to him. Y'all remember that movie? I don't remember the name of it. Clint, it was one of them, but he was on there. But see, we'll say that, but we won't live it. Now, I'm speaking in general terms here. You see, we will follow Christ 50%, 75%, 90%, some even up to 99%. But for some reason, there's always that little bit. Folks, I'm including myself in this. I don't like something, so I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. This person hurt me, so I hope something bad. Folks, we are supposed to follow Christ 100% all the way up Calvary if we have to. He doesn't call everybody to do that, but He does call some of us to do that. See, the answer that why we don't apply it to our everyday lives is as individual as our faith. We all have excuses. We all have reasons. Some may doubt. Some may pretend for various reasons. Some may be angry at God for unanswered prayers. Oh, you let my wife die. You let my child die. Things like that. Some may be afraid, like we talked about the folks that didn't want to willingly give up their families or stuff for faith. Yet the fact is that Jesus is the Son of God, God the Son. And we need to live like it, folks. Now, by Scripture, we've shown that He identified Himself. And remember, He was talking to His critics, the Pharisees, when this happened. The second thing is He identifies His purpose. What His purpose is to do the will of the Father who sent Him. What is the will of God? To believe on Him who He has sent. Let's go back and read John 5:19 through 22 again. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father. For what things soever He doeth, then also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus is saying, what God does, I do. You want to preach a month of Sundays? That's a verse you can preach a whole month of Sundays on right there. Verse 20 says, For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Verse 21, For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, and that means gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We're going to break that down quickly. Now, from these four verses, we learn the purpose of Jesus on earth. Number one, to do what God does. To do what God does. What God shows Him to do. And the Bible tells us what God has shown Him to do. To seek and save that which is lost. Number two, to do great and mighty acts so people will marvel. Later on, in John, I believe it's chapter 10, and we'll get to that in a little bit, he said, if you don't believe because of what I tell you, at least believe on these miracles that I've done. It's right in front of you, people. Sometimes in my mind, Jesus has a southern accent. And I can understand his frustration because I have been in conversations with people, maybe not necessarily about religious things, but about things, and I'm showing them and I'm telling them, and it just doesn't register. Even though there's proof and there's evidence right in front of them. So he did great and mighty acts. God sent him to do great and mighty acts. He talked about raising the dead to give life to those who he will, those that believe on him. Now, you can go and talk about the widow of Nain's son. You can talk about Lazarus. He restored them to life. But they both had to die again. Both of those and any others that Jesus raised still cannot have eternal life unless they believed on him as the Son of God. No one comes to the Father except by him. You can be the best person in the world. You can be morally pure. But the minute you start thinking that's good enough to get you into heaven, that's when you sin. And if the book of James tells us that you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all of them. We don't like that fact. We don't think stealing a cookie from Grandma's cookie jar when she told us no is equal to murder. But in God's eyes, once you start down that path, you're guilty of sin. Brothers and sisters, he gives life to those who believe on him. Eternal, everlasting, abundant life. The fourth thing is to execute judgment. That is verse 28, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. How does he commit judgment? Well, let's go to John 3:16. We already quoted that verse. Do you remember it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:18 says that those who do not believe on the name of Jesus Christ are condemned already, because they have not believed on Jesus Christ. We always like one, but we don't like the other. Because we got family members, we got people that we think are important that will not believe in Jesus. Not because they can't, they won't. And they are condemned. Well, that's not right. That is righteousness. Because you do not get to get into heaven without the righteousness of God. And you are given that by your faith in Jesus Christ. Because see, the Bible tells us that he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his glorious light. Because of faith. And that last point about judgment is important because you see it helps identify the relationship that the Son has with the Father. And what is this relationship? The Father and Son are both God. The Father and Son and the Holy Spirit are all God. It's the Trinity, folks. And yes, you will hear over and over, the Bible never says anything about the Trinity. Jesus' baptism. The Son is there, the Father voice is heard, and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. All three are God. Now, the Holy Spirit sometimes is called the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ, but it's still the Holy Spirit. Verse 23 says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You see, that's one of the problems. There are many people that say, yes, God is God. I believe that there is a God. Well, so what? The devil does too. Big deal. And there are whole religions that say, Jesus never said he was God. Yes, he did. We just proved that. Folks, if people try to tell you, well, I love God, but I don't believe all this stuff about Jesus, they are not following God. They are blaspheming because they are telling God that what you did, I don't believe. What you did through Jesus Christ is not important. You cannot honor God the Father without accepting and honoring God the Son. And you can only honor God the Father and the Son by believing what he was sent here to do, which is to seek and save that which was lost. What does this verse show us? It shows us that one cannot please or serve the Father without honoring Jesus the Son. Now, as we said, there are those who will denigrate that Father-Son relationship between the Father and the Son. Jesus is not the Son of God, or Jesus is less. He's a created being. You got folks all over the place that say Jesus was not the Father. No, He's not. But He's still God. He's the Son. God the Son. We sing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Blessed Trinity. We sing that because all three are God. Is it wrong? Did Jesus, when He was on earth, pray to the Father? Absolutely. Did Jesus say that He was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter? Absolutely. They are all God. Jesus is God the Son. But you see, He also has the ear of the Father, because the Father shows Him what He should do. And the Father gives Him those who will be saved, those that will have faith and believe on Him. There is no lesser position within the Trinity. They are co-equal God. You cannot know Yahweh God without acknowledging and believing in the work and person of Jesus of Nazareth. I don't care how good a person you are, morally. Okay? I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. I don't care how poor you are or how rough your life has been and how many prayers God has answered or not answered. Unless you believe in Jesus the Son, His work in person, you will never know God except in judgment. Now, folks, a lot of people don't want to hear that. A lot of folks think that's rough. A lot of folks think that ain't fair. If I believe in God, and that's enough. No. You have to believe in God the Son as well as God the Father. And let God the Holy Spirit open it up to you. Folks, it's not just a belief, because Jesus said in verse 21, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. And whom He will is those who believe on His name." That doesn't just mean in the literal name. It means by the power and the authority and the purpose that God sent Him to this earth. That's what we believe in. The blood of Jesus Christ covers us and transfers us from death to life. The Son quickeneth whom He will, and whom He will are those that believe in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You want to go even further? Those, how shall a man be saved? I'm paraphrasing Romans. It says that if you confess with your heart, confess means a mouth, that Jesus is the Son of God, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. End of discussion. Now, it's got to be in truth. You've got to really believe it. You've got to really confess it. You can play games all day long. Our TVs and our radios and our magazines and our newspapers, that tells you how old I am, magazines and newspapers. All this stuff is telling you that these people, oh, we believe in God, but yet they go out and commit murder and sin and all that stuff. Folks, you got to really be converted by the Holy Spirit. And how do you do that? You believe. That's too easy. Amen, brother. That's the point. God made a way for us to be reconciled unto Him regardless of what sin. The only sin that you will be condemned for is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which I believe means rejection and dying in your sin. Once you're dead, you cannot be forgiven. You can't get prayed into heaven. You can't have a mass said for you. You can't do any of that stuff and get into heaven. You're either going up or you're going down. You go up, you don't want to come back. You go down, they ain't letting you come back. You cannot get into heaven without Jesus Christ. See, verse 24 says, and this encapsulates it completely. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. If you hear the word of Jesus and you believe that God is telling the truth, which he is, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Folks, I couldn't say it any better myself. Jesus said, this is the truth. If you believe on him who sent me, and you believe on Jesus' word, you have everlasting life. I believe on the word of Jesus Christ. I believe that God the Father has sent him, because folks, men have tried over and over and over to be good enough on their own, and it has never worked and will never work. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And only through Jesus Christ can you pass from death to life. Folks, I've stood in front of a lot of caskets in my life. Some folks I knew, some folks I didn't know. I think the very first funeral sermon I preached, Brother Troy, remember? At a little old funeral home that was in an old house. And this man was a deacon in my first pastorate. And he was a kind man. And we were there at his bedside when he passed. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because folks, not only being a preacher, but it being a paramedic, I've seen a lot of folks die. And I know that God came to get him, because there was peace. I've also been in a room with a woman screaming her head off, "Don't let them take me." And we couldn't see anything, but we knew something was there. Brothers and sisters, and she did not believe. Her son was a pastor, a Pentecostal pastor. And he was crying. He said, I tried to tell her. She just didn't want to believe. And when you cross the river, when you die, and you are not in Christ, you have passed into judgment. You got to make your decision this side of death. And what is that decision? The only sensible common sense is to believe in what Jesus has said and believe on him who sent Jesus. Paul echoes what I just read that Jesus said in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You are not condemned if you are in Jesus." That means you believe in Him, you trust Him, you desire Him, you want to be everything that He wants you to be. That's the only way you're in Jesus Christ. And then, those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, as the way to everlasting life, because God the Father has sent Him, also believe and know that He and the Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." He specifically said that. That means that Jesus is who He says He is. He is God the Son. When Jesus appeared after the resurrection, when Thomas doubted, and later Jesus came and Jesus said, "Here, Thomas, put your finger here, put your hand here." What did Thomas say? He said, "My Lord and my God." Did Jesus say, No, I'm not God. No, don't do that. That's only for the Father." No. He accepted it because He's God the Son. And folks, you can't get away from it. You can believe any garbage you want, but unless you're in Christ, you will not know everlasting life. Don't listen to this world, because the world, which is controlled by the god of this world, and I say that with a little g, wants to pull you away from God. Even if you believe, he's still trying to pull you away. He's trying to get rid of your testimony. He's trying to get rid of your faith. He's trying to fill you with doubt and fear. Don't listen to him. Even if you sin, if you confess your sin, you repent of it, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. No matter what you did, folks, you can know God through Jesus the Son. You can be forgiven. That's why we need to be desperate for Him. Because this world is going to come after you, folks. Your family is going to come after you. Your job is going to come after you. But folks, in Christ, we have peace. And in Christ, we have life. And life more abundantly. He and the Father are one. That means they're the same. They're the same substance. They are united always, etc. And I include the Holy Spirit in this. God gives us life through the one and only Son. And those who reject Jesus as God are already condemned. I've already talked about John 3:18. Therefore, what do we need to do with this information? Folks, let's go back to that undercover boss thing. The boss is here. He's here. Right now, he's speaking to you through this word. Not me. I could tell you the moon's full of green cheese and it wouldn't be true, will it? But God is telling the truth. If you feel something, it is the Holy Spirit pulling on you. And all those, as we talked about earlier, watching on Facebook, this applies to everyone that is drawing breath. So let me give you four things we need to take away from this. Boy, I'm doing it the old seminary way. I've got points and all that stuff. Miracle. Number one, you need to believe Jesus is who He says He is. And that should fill you with either fear or joy. Choose joy. You remember in the old days when the children of Israel were wandering through the desert and some of them got on one mountain and they read the curses and some of them got on the other mountain and they read the blessings? You remember what was said? I set before you life and death. Choose life. And when we choose life, we do so by believing in the author of life, Jesus Christ. And we believe the Father sent Him. You cannot know God the Father without honoring the Son. We've already covered that. Three, we need to openly confess this truth before all men. If He came that all men should believe, then we need to confess it before all men. I don't care if it's a family member. I don't care if it's your boss. Don't be jerks about it, okay? Don't go, I'm a Christian, you're not, you're going to hell. Ha ha ha. No, don't do that. Okay? What we need to do is live our life according to the Word of God. We need to love, we need to forgive, we need to be merciful, but we also need to stand firm no matter who tries to oppose us. But we stand firm in love. We stand firm in mercy. We stand firm praying and desiring that God will open up the truth to that heart, that that person may also be saved. I'm kind of choking up because I know people that I love and care about that couldn't give a rat's behind about the things of God. And folks, that day when we all stand before God, we're not going to be able to change our minds. We're not going to be able to suddenly believe when we're standing before. Oh, we're going to know. We're going to believe. But it's too late for salvation. Folks, don't be on that side of the fence. You see, we need to live it out. Because in all these things, Jesus will give us life, and life more abundantly, so that we may serve Him and God the Father in spirit and in truth. And I want to close with these two verses. John 10:10, second part of it, says this. I am come that they, and He's talking about His sheep, might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Christ quickeneth whom He will, just as God the Father. He gives us an abundant life. That doesn't mean we're going to have riches, although a poor man with Christ is much, much richer than any man with material wealth. And it means we're going to have joy. Folks, there's two things I want more than anything else in this life. One is peace. Don't like arguing, don't like fighting. I want peace. And the second is joy. I have both of those in Christ. And the second one is John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You remember that Romans 8 verse I read? who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. You see, we're not condemned if we're in the Spirit, if we're worshiping in the Spirit. I'm not talking about jumping over pews and hanging from chandeliers and speaking in an unknown tongue, although in some cases that's not necessarily wrong. It's not normative. But God does things. If He was the same then, He's same now. Okay? But that's a discussion for another time. But we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means we live what we confess. If we're not living what we confess, we're not in the truth. So when those thoughts enter your head, that anger enters your head, that doubt enters your head, that bitterness enters your head, you're not living in the truth that God has revealed to you. Pray, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And let us do this every day that we live to the glory of God the Father, who reigns forever and ever. Amen. Praise team. Somebody's battery just went out. Folks, I don't know how much plainer Jesus could have made it. Now, it's up to our faith. It's up to what God reveals to us, whether we're going to take this and just ignore it and live every day like we've always lived it, or we're going to take it and we're going to apply it. You know, they teach you in preaching school, you got to have application. Well, I've given application. You've got to apply the words of Christ to your life, whether it be about faith, whether it be about works, whatever it may be. You do what Jesus has called you to do. And if you do, you will be blessed by the only Son of God, God the Son, who came to seek and save that which is lost, and to give them life, and life more abundantly. Let's stand.